Last week I came a little bit strong on the issue of us taking the challenge to become witnesses of Christ wherever we are. We are called to become, to be witnesses of Christ in every space where we find ourselves. You don't have to be a preacher like myself in order to become a witness of Christ. Wherever God has placed you, He has placed you to influence with a kingdom mandate, to be a witness of the kingdom of God and share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ that saves the whole world. So it is important for us to know that. So now, the question is how to become effective witnesses, because it's not just being a witness. How to become effective witnesses of Christ everywhere we are and everywhere we find ourselves. We are going to read 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And then it says in chapter 1 of 2 Peter verse 5, "For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness add knowledge, and to knowledge you must add self-control, and to self-control you must add perseverance, and to perseverance you must add godliness, and to godliness you must add brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness you must add love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of Christ." They will keep you from being ineffective. Children of God, it's not enough just to come to the Lord. And when you are here in the Lord, you get excited that you have been saved. You're not going to face hell. You've been saved by the grace of God, and you have come to the person of Christ. Hallelujah. That is the first step. You have come to the faith. But once you have come to the faith, you have the responsibility to add to your faith. It means there must be growth. There must be visible growth. There must be deliberate intention to not just be in one space of your walk with God. It says you must add goodness. Now, what is goodness? Goodness is that texture of Christ upon the life of a believer. It means people who know you to be in a certain way, they must start to witness the change in your character, in your life, in who you are. They must experience goodness, you know, goodness in your life. People in society, that's the first quality that we should have as Christians. Because how many Christians do you know who are so rude? Who are so rude? You look at them, you cannot find any texture of Christ. There's no embracing of the person of Christ in their character and into their person. They say they believe, but their belief is not translated into their character. It's not impacting who they are. So that's the first place where we start. Before we go out to become witnesses, we allow God's word to transform us. Okay? There's there's a difference between, I mean, all of you, I can tell you, all of you, you commit sin of some kinds. All of you, you are not perfect. It means you're still being perfected. It means God is not finished with you yet. Okay? So you must learn to be patient with yourself. But being patient with yourself, you must have an expectation of growth as well. You do not just become at a comfortable space with sin in your life. You must be able to challenge yourself to grow in the person of Christ. There must be this thing that says, even if it's a struggle, but you must put up a fight to it. You understand what I mean? You put up a fight to it, you will not get to be perfect. You are being perfected. So being perfected means there are things that you used to do, there are things that used to be an issue, but now you have grown. There are things, there's a witness of growth in your life. People in your family, people in your church space, people in your workspace can start to tell that, oh, Franz, you know, Franz used to be so short-tempered. Franz used to be so short-tempered, but you know what? This gospel has done good to our brother. It's the testimony of Christ in our life. That's witness number one to the world. It must be the testimony of Christ in our world. It does not mean that we are perfect. We will never be perfect on our own. As long as Jesus has not come again, forget about being perfect. That's why you must be gracious to other people. You must pray for your brothers. You must pray for yourself. Because all of us are in a journey of growth. You understand? All of us are in a journey of growth. But in that journey of growth, there must be the witness of growth. There must be something that I can look at and say, wow, you know, I will give you, for instance, with me. I used to have a lot of anger, like a lot of anger, like murdering anger. I used to be like that. I used to be so bad when coming to anger. It used to impact me. When I get to that level, my whole body would even vibrate. And I realized that something is not on with me. And I had to lay that to the Lord and say, Lord, I cannot be walking in this emotion in this way. It's going to sabotage everything that you want to do. And I had to lay down to the foot of the cross. And you know what? Every time the devil challenges me in that space, I say, Lord, help me. And there are times when the Lord gives me wisdom. When something is to trigger my anger, I move away from the trigger. I move away. I start to master this emotion. It doesn't mean that it's totally gone, but the wisdom of God helps me to master it. And those who have been around my life, who knew me then, who knew that guy there, and they look at me today, they laugh and say, he used to be like this. That's the testimony of Christ. And I'm not ashamed to share with you that is something, just one thing that I can mention to you. There must be that witness. Even in your family space, especially there, that's where the expectation of you being a Christian comes in to say, but are you not a Christian? Why this, why that, why that, why that? Because there is an expectation of an embracal of the person of Christ in your character. So the counsel, the word of the Lord, the word of God in our lives helps us, lead us to that growth. Okay? So that's why you need to impact yourself with God's word. You need to study God's word. You need to embrace the truth of Scripture in your life. That is going to translate into the growth into your character. If you do not spend time studying God's word, embracing this knowledge that he's talking about, which is the second virtue that he's saying. He says, to your goodness, you must add knowledge. You know, there's nothing so embarrassing like a good Christian who has no knowledge of the scriptures. A good believer, but with so much ignorance. You are a good, ignorant Christian. That is something that you find. when winds of doctrine, when winds of this world blow against your faith, they don't find you rooted in Christ, in the knowledge of Christ. That's why it says, upon your goodness, you must add knowledge. Now, let's go a little bit into this dimension or this virtue or called knowledge that you must be able to have in your life. Be aware that even as you study the scriptures, there are different levels of knowledge bases that are out there. Number one, there is what we call sound doctrine, sound teaching of scripture. Where you, when you have sound teaching of scripture, you're going to see it translated in your life, having a sound Christian life. Okay? Sound doctrine impacts you to have a sound Christian life because it is based on sound Christian beliefs. If you have heretic teachings, teachings that are not of God, teachings that are not biblically sound, those teachings are dangerous. And most of us get exposed to them, especially in our era. When we were growing up, this whole thing of social media and YouTube and anything, it wasn't there. Now, it's like babies are being thrown into the jungle of knowledge, and they are supposed to make sound judgment around everything that has been thrown to them. That's a danger zone. That's why today, to lead the church, to lead the people of God like this, for a pastor, it is the most daunting task. Because we used to be influenced from the pulpits primarily, and from the in-house teachings that we used to get from our churches. But these days, it's like the whole world has been exposed to you. You sit just at the click of your finger, you can get to be exposed to so many things out there, so many teachings and so many doctrines and so many schisms and so many things. The only challenge is you may not have the tools, you may not have the know-how to differentiate between what is sound and what is not sound. There is so much persuasion with regard to social media and with regard to what is available online. Everything has been thrown into one pot. And there is a danger there. Especially for those who just came into the Lord. Because the question is, who is going to guide them in that space? Because one of the things that we have noticed, many people that would rather believe someone on a YouTube that they have never met, they will believe that person much more than their pastor. They would rather take the teaching that they find online much more better than what they would get from their own church. And that's not always wise. I'm not saying that there are no teachers out there that we can learn from. Even some of our material, we put it online. But the question that I have is, how do you decipher this whole thing? How do you separate bones from this nice fish that is there? Because otherwise you're going to consume everything without realizing that you're going to consume even a lot of rubbish. For instance, there are teachers who don't believe that the hand of the Lord is still at work to perform signs and wonders and miracles. They say all of that has been ended with the apostles. And there are so many, they are there on YouTube. And you belong to a church where we believe that the hand of the Lord is still present to do signs and wonders and greatness. Now, if you afford yourself to listen to that stuff and you come into a church space like this, do you see how that is going to contradict and how that is not going to gel with what is sound and that is what is being taught in the church? So just be aware of that. There's a reason why God raises a man of God in a community. There's a reason why. There's a reason why God raises a church like this in a community. So that, and you know what? I mean, like the church that you have here, it's a wonderful church. Your pastor is a man who studies all the time. Reason he studies all the time is not so that he can become, so that he can be responsible with what God he gives to you. So that he can dish out what is sound to you, to impact you in the soundness of your growth. He makes all the effort so that you can get that right food and right material. You know, I listen and I listen all over and I check so many teachings that comes through. And I'm saying, Lord, I really feel for the young believers of today. Recently, I had to deal with a very difficult case where someone who believes that she's a Christian, but there's nothing Christian about them. From their beliefs, there's nothing Christian. From how they interact with people, there's nothing Christian. The concepts that they are holding to, including their understanding of God, is nothing Christian. I had to dig so deep to let them realize that they are calling the devil God and they are calling God the devil. And they don't even realize, they don't even know, they don't even have the tools to do that. Because they were thrown into a jungle of knowledge and they just had to get into this mangled moose and just, without any proper guidance. And she walked into so much error. And as a result, what happens is the wrong doctrines that she believed incubated spirits of deception. And these spirits of deception, they made sure that she walks in error. We need to get ourselves to sound knowledge. In this church, there is Bible study that is happening. That's where you are given the privilege to learn what is sound. And you can ask questions. And you can ask questions. And you can be guided in a sound way to the knowledge of Scripture. Yesterday, I bought a book from someone that I wanted to support because they wrote a book. And immediately as I opened the first usage of Scripture that I found in that book, turn me off. Because this person is an enthusiast of the pulpit, but their biblical knowledge base is so poor. And they even put that wrong understanding of Scripture in a book material. So how many other people are going to be reading that book? They think, they hear culturalism as if it is a right interpretation of Scripture. And I looked at that and I said, Lord, may you save many people from this wrong understanding. It is important. That's why the Bible tells us not to rush to become teachers. Because what you are going to teach is very, 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 very important. You can either deceive a generation or you can save a generation from where I am. That's why even in our witnesses, we go out to become effective witnesses of Christ. We must make sure that we tell the truth. We interpret Scripture and our knowledge of Scripture is enriched with sound understanding. Otherwise, we are going to be going into the world just speaking scriptural gibberish and thinking it is sound doctrine. So I'm urging you that you must join the Bible study in the church. Whenever there is a Bible study, make sure you don't miss that. And make sure you ask questions. Make sure that you get to know what is sound in Scripture. If there's one thing the devil is interested in, is to interpret this Bible in a wrong way for people. So that the same Bible that they're holding can become a weapon against them. You read the Bible, but the Bible, your interpretation of the Bible, it becomes a stumbling block in your understanding and knowledge of God. The same Bible. How many Christian occults came out of the wrong understanding of Scripture? So many. So many. So when he says add knowledge, you must check what type of knowledge are you adding to your faith. Add knowledge. It is very important that as you add knowledge, you add the right thing. Here in South Africa, there has been move, not even in South Africa, there has been a greater manifestation of what we call a prophetic movement. And that prophetic movement took a lot of people by storm. And people started going into the realm of wanting to hear God all the time, prophecies everywhere, and people left what is sound in Scripture. So as a result of that, as a result of people being so gift-focused and not biblical and word-focused, the devil started coming with so many lies, and he started twisting and twisting and twisting, and people started walking into deceptions. And as a result of that, it developed. There are things that have been misinterpreted, and people believed them. And people threw a lot of money in that prophetic movement. And as they got disappointed, because the promises which were given in those prophetic movements was not God. And when they get hurt, they move away from who God is. They start to hate God because somebody taught them wrong things. So we need to teach what is sound so that people cannot be angry with God, so that people, when they realize, people can hold to what is true and hold fast to what is true. Okay, we need to do that. We need to add knowledge. It is very, very important to add knowledge. But how to add knowledge? You need guidance in that space. If you don't get guidance in that space, I can urge you, if there is anybody that you are listening or you are watching on YouTube or wherever, discuss that with your pastor so that you can be able to get a more enriched understanding of what you're dealing with. More enriched understanding of what you're dealing with. Otherwise, you are alone in that jungle. You do not have a sound person, a mentor and a father and a pastor who's guiding you. So there is danger in that space. I have a daughter who's very interested in Scripture. But every time she goes, she wants to go discuss with her friends, she comes to Papa. And we sit and we deliberate on Scripture. Why? Because she doesn't want to go out there to teach things that are not sound, that are not biblically sound. And it is the same way with church members. When we are in church space, the reason why God raised leadership, men of God who studied, who made efforts to know what is sound, is so that they can guide the church, guide everyone into everything that is sound. Okay, that's very, very important. It sounds very basic, but that's what we need to do. Let us read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, just to add to that. These things will make us effective, will keep us from not being ineffective. 2 Timothy It says, all Scripture is breathed by God. It is useful for teaching. That word teaching is the word doctrine. It's used for doctrine. It's used for teaching. It's useful for organize your understanding right. Your understanding right of God. It's very important. And it says it is good for rebuking. It is good for correcting. It's good for correcting. When you do not have the right understanding of Scripture, you might find yourself walking into things. That's, for instance, the teaching of grace. The teaching of grace. Oh, hallelujah, we have been saved by grace. Therefore, people take that and say, there's no need for me to be doing anything except just to live my life the way I want. Because I've been saved by grace, I bear no responsibility over my Christian character. Even if I sin and I live the way I live, it's okay. I'm just a product of grace. That's a wrong understanding. We must be able to, the grace of God saves us. And it doesn't only save us, but it trains us to renounce all forms of ungodliness. Trains us to to renounce all forms of ungodliness. When the true grace of God has hit a human life that is full of sin, there is a conviction of sin in your life as a result of that same grace that has come upon your life. Because the true grace of God goes with conviction, conviction towards sin. You cannot just have the grace of God and have the liberty to go on with sin. Then that's not the grace of God. The grace of God is like the light that shines in our lives that enables us to say, wow, I didn't even know. You know, Zacchaeus, that guy who, the short guy in the Bible, who climbed on the tree, the tax collector who wanted to hear what God, when he realized the grace of God that was coming on his life, he had to repent and wanted to give more. That's what, that the grace of God leads to repentance. Zacchaeus. At least I know you read your Bible. Good. good, Tony. I like that. That guy, when he realized who Christ is, there was a conviction in his heart against sin. It wasn't the liberty to say, ah, so now Jesus has saved us. Oh, now we know Christ. Hey, we must go rob more people. No, it didn't work like that. Instead, his heart was hit with conviction and said, no. You know, we did bad towards our people. You know, then he wants to do justice. Then he wants to give more. Then he wants to make things right. That's what the grace of God does when it gets into the life of a sinner. It does not empower us to go on sinning, but it empowers us to overcome sin. Okay, very important. So, here is God's word, the knowledge of Scripture. As it comes into your life, some things get corrected. There are things that get corrected. There are certain ways of thinking that gets corrected. There's a certain way you used to see life. Your worldview is renewed. Because God's word comes in to correct those things. How you view women, how you view the world, how you view people around you, how you view yourself as well, how you view the church, all of those things gets corrected. Because you and me, we believe in so many other things that are not necessarily true and right according to Scripture. So many of them. But when the truth of Scripture comes, it aligns us with who Christ is. So that is very important, and it helps us to become effective witnesses. Effective witnesses. So we need to get into the space where we empower ourselves with the knowledge of Scripture. Be hungry for God's word. Never spend a week without going into the Scriptures to immerse yourself into the knowledge of the Scriptures, because the Holy Scriptures doesn't just correct things. Number one, it empowers your faith. If you see a Christian who's always weak in faith, I can tell you of a Christian who does not read their Bible. The Scripture empowers your faith. Scripture is the food for your faith. If you want to have a faith that is malnourished, a faith that cannot even pick up a thing like that in the kingdom of God, I can tell you of someone who does not spend time in the Word. When you spend time in the Word, you get empowered, you get strengthened, you get sharpened. Even your level of discernment gets high. Your consciousness towards God's will gets high. But if your consciousness towards God's will is always low, I can tell you of someone who does not spend time in Scripture. When you spend time in Scripture, I guess most of you had breakfast. When you eat, the impact the food does to your body, it is the same way that when you eat the Scriptures, the same impact happens in your spirit. You get filled with a life of God inside of you that comes through the scriptures. And when the life of God comes inside of your spirit, inside of your being, inside of your mind, you're going to exhibit the life of God everywhere you are. And that is very important. It's very important that your faith gets empowered. Your faith gets empowered through the knowledge of Scripture. A weak faith means someone is not empowering their faith with God's word. I can tell you, any person that you see and that you know, I know of a man of God whom God had called, ordinary man that God had called for signs and wonders. Every time he has to go out to a meeting somewhere, he will read scriptures, the same scriptures that he knows. Read the scriptures and read the scriptures about signs and wonders, miracles and God's hand on the people. And he will go and challenge God with the knowledge of scripture and say, you have called me, I've seen your hand here, I want to see it there. And his faith always has been strong to move in signs and wonders. But if God has called you into something and you do not empower that thing with the knowledge of scripture, I can tell you, expect yourself not to be strong. Expect yourself not to be strengthened. Doesn't matter how weak you are, when you empower yourself with God's word, you are going to be effective. Doesn't matter how weak you are, when you empower yourself with God's word, you are going to be effective. The word of the Lord makes us effective in our Christian walk as witnesses, true witnesses of Christ, as effective even in our callings. The word of the Lord strengthens us in that regard. So we need to get back to the knowledge of Scripture. Let me tell you, the people, the world of skepticism out there, they know what I'm talking about. That's why Muslims, they go read the Bible in order to twist the Bible against the believers. Because they know that the believers don't know the Bible. They know the Quran, and because they want to defend the Quran, they come read your Bible. And after reading your Bible, they twist the scriptures to you because they know you don't spend time in your own scriptures. Exactly what the devil did to Eve. Exactly what the devil tried to do to Jesus. Did God really say? And Eve had to look at that and say, yeah, but this is what he says. But that vision that the devil gave to Eve, it made sense to her because she never, never, never really meditated and paused and pondered on the impact of the wrong interpretation of what God said. And she yielded to a vision of the devil, of scripture. And as a result, death came in. So you see, if you don't have the right and the truthful interpretation of scripture, how many areas of your life are going to experience death? So many. So many. They are going to experience death. The scriptures brings the life of God in the totality of your life. The scripture will instruct you in every single way. You know, people who read the scriptures and who understand the scriptures, for instance, you will not even preach to them that they must give in the church because they know what the Bible says. No need to make sermons about those things because those are elementary to the church. We must support the work of the Lord. This is God's work. So, I know now people who go and study theology, they get their PhD in order to come and twist the scriptures for the church. And when they do that, they twist the scriptures against the church, and the church is found wanting because they do not have their own understanding of scripture. So, this is very, very important for us to become effective witnesses. To become effective witnesses wherever we go, we need to have a sound and a right knowledge of Scripture. We will be able to defend our faith. We'll be able to be strong witnesses out there. And we must exhibit the church, the texture of Christ in our character. That is very important. Let's close our eyes. I want to pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, for this morning. Enrich us with the texture of Christ in our character, in our person, that even as we grow, we will embrace the texture of Christ, the person of Christ in our character, in our being, Lord. May the testimony of Christ ooze, be embedded in our character. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Lord, even as we embrace the counsel of your word, going back to spend time with you in your word, we pray, Father, that you will continue to lead and to guide us and to give us the passion to embrace sound teaching and sound doctrine in our lives so that we can become effective witnesses of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome.